KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hello, this is Jim Williams with you, sitting in for Steve Ryman. He'll be back with you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. He was kind enough to let me talk to my friends Charles Chavis and Pastor Scott Tom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Pastor Scott has had the Fellowship Shepherd School for a pretty long time, as long as I've known you, Pastor Scott.
Yeah, we're going on over a decade now.
Yeah. So I think years. I've been interviewing you 8 years, and it's grown. And Charles Chavis, he's part of the ministry team at Calvary Church. He's works in our security and does a lot of good things to protect us. Has some ideas that he wanted to identify whether he might be gifted and called to be a pastor. And he's been part of the school and things. I was teasing him on the way in, like, hey, he's still going, Pastor? You haven't had to throw him out yet?
No, he's done terrific, man. And the guys who stick it out generally do extremely well, because it's not like a regular college. It's life-changing. It's discipleship-based. No midterms, no finals, no kind of studies like that. We use mnemonics. We use other things, discussion, debriefing, that flip blended learning, these kind of things to make sure people absorb and retain what they're hearing so that it comes in use when they actually are called upon.
Well, I'm going to just read a list that you've given to me in the past. Mm-hmm. You cover in the Shepherd School, practical Christian living, how to overcome sinful habits, kind of how to develop what you call holy habits. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You have morning routines. You talk about mental and spiritual health, even depression and those kind of things as they can affect somebody that's in leadership in a church. You talk about, obviously, friendship, marriage, all of those things, and that's especially difficult in our culture today. Mm-hmm. And really the whole point of our interview today is to talk about restoration. There are pastors that fall. I don't personally, I was talking to Charles about this, I don't personally think it happens more than maybe it's happened in the past, but it's more known now. Would you agree with that?
I would think so, yeah.
And it's more
exposed because of it. I think there are people in times back where it would happen, maybe only a few staff members knew about it. But now with social media and other things, not only does it travel, but other people discover things going on, right? When things said here or there. And so it's out there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think as our society waxes cold in its love and in its dedication, you may see more of it. God did talk about a rising apostasy, right? Mm,
yes. Talk to us about the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School and what it is and who you want involved. I know you've got a new class starting up in January.
Yeah, when we say Shepherd School, people think, well, I'm not called to be a pastor, so why would I even go? Well, shepherd is a designation for those who are leading other people, right? So if you're a husband, if you're a business leader, if people are around you, you are a shepherd whether you like it or not, right? Mm-hmm. But then it is geared towards ministry. Mm-hmm. So we've raised up lots of ministry leaders and pastors and planted churches through there, including here and overseas in Uganda and Zambia and Kenya, Sri Lanka, Cambodia. We're getting to see Qatar. We're getting to see all these pastors and leaders being raised up internationally from this. But the idea is not, yes, we teach apologetics, high Christian philosophy, ethics, eschatology, right? Pneumatology, Christology. We teach all the ologies. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that we teach is character. Character has to be taught and caught, and there's multiple ways of doing that. And I think part of our discussion today is going to be on, well, what happens with pastors and why do they fall, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're held to a higher, you know, accountability and they've got this teaching, how could that person fall? How could they be so dumb in doing that? And it's because we put the emphasis on the information and not the virtue. And Scripture calls us to be virtuous, right? When Paul talks about, hey, if somebody wants to be a bishop and this is the qualifications, that's for every Christian. Mm-hmm. We just think that's for the pastor, right? husband of one wife. Well, if you're not a pastor, can you have multiple wives? Right? Not given to wine. Well, if I'm not a pastor, then I can get drunk every night and toke up and, you know. No, that's not, right?
Right.
So the qualifications are for
all
Christians.
I shouldn't say right. I should say wrong.
Wrong,
you don't
right?
get to do all those.
So the qualifications are for every Christian. It's just that those people who are getting close to obtaining or having greater success in that, those are the only ones you lay hands on and allow to lead, right? So you lessen the chances of them misleading or falling or causing division in the body, right? So if we don't focus on that, if we only focus on ability to teach, so we give you the information, we teach you how to teach, if we only focus on that, the problem is these men are left vulnerable in the areas where the enemy can attack, in pride and lust and money and all the other areas, right?
Well, that's why I was really happy that Charles could sit in today, because Charles is a retired Albuquerque police officer, helping protect the church. At running our security group during the day and services and all kinds of different things. So in addition to the theological studies, and I'm going to word this question a little different than I wrote it, you've been sitting in a congregation. You've listened to Skip Heitzig. You've listened to Scott Thom. You know the emphasis that both of those pastors put on fellowship together and men confessing their sins to one another, being part of a congregation. But now you're talking about possibly being a pastor and fulfilling that role. What have you learned about character and how it works for a pastor? Is it different than just being part of the congregation?
Yes, just as Scott was saying, there has to be a higher standard, even though that's what all Christians live by. Like we said, we don't want to tell it's okay for non-pastors to get drunk or have multiple wives or adultery. We still have to have that standard when we're a leader, because that's what they're teaching in a shepherd school, is about leadership. And some of the stuff we've learned in there is that we lead by example. So if we want people to live that holy or righteous lifestyle, we don't want to be doing those naughty things ourselves, because then I'm going to think, well, if the pastor does it, I guess I can get away with that. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad saw a pastor somewhere, we were going to church, and I said, I think that guy's wife works at this bar, and that pastor was telling me it's okay to have a drink or two here or there. And you don't know when you start talking like that or have an example in your family, who's listening and who's watching. So our leadership, and that's so much that's taught to us in class, is the importance of our example and leadership.
You know, can I just emphasize something to your point there? I know both of you for a long time now, don't know you real, real well, but you guys don't live by rules. You guys live by a changed heart. Mm-hmm. So you care about the people that don't know Jesus, and you care about the people that already know him. And so not doing something that you feel like is going to take them away from God, that might be alcoholism, that might be sexual, whatever it might be, you're not saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There's not a rule. It's you're living in love, led by Christ to love other people.
Right. There's a quote I saw just recently. I can't remember where. Could have been on social media. And it's that we're not looking to teach people rules to live by. As a minister, and something we've learned in class, is that we're trying to get people to Jesus. Some of our leadership training there is about the whole job of the preacher is to show people Jesus, not to show ourselves off. Not to get famous, but to show them Christ. And if you can get someone in the direction of loving Christ so much, the more they love Jesus, the less you want to sin. And that's something that I think it takes us many years, or some of us it did, to understand, oh, do I live by rules to get better? Do I get closer to God by rules? No, it's love. And we want to live in a way that we love God. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So he didn't say, obey my commandments, and that's how you get to heaven. It's knowing him and loving him, and then that's when you usually are behaving better, because you're close to him and you're loved. That's kind of like my wife. I don't do other women because I love my wife. Sure, it's a rule and a covenant that we made in marriage, but the biggest reason I don't do naughty things is because I love her. It's something that the Cross Christian Shepherd School starts early on from the very beginning, is a big focus is on discipleship. Because in the very end, when Jesus left in Acts and said, go and make disciples in all the world, rather than just go and preach a message, didn't say just go tell all these rules, go say that you have to behave yourself to earn your way to heaven. No, he didn't say go earn your way this way. He said go make disciples. And that's something Scott has written a book about it, Discipleship on Fire. But even other than his book, even though that's a class book at a certain time in class, it's a focus. The first day I was interested in that school, as you said, Jim, there was a time that I felt the calling that I wanted to do more than just be the average guy just reading your Bible in the morning. And it's actually my younger son has told me for years, he said, you have a voice for radio, Dad. And I might have done this joke last time where I said, does that mean I'm too ugly for TV? He says, I have a radio voice. But I kept thinking, should I get a job in voice or radio somewhere? And I felt the Lord kept tugging, no, if I've given you that, I want you to speak for me. So then I looked at Cross Christian Shepherd School to explore my opportunities and to start educate myself further. And I was already enrolled in an online thing. And Scott actually answered. I said, wow, you answered as a pastor. And he said, yes, that's because this is also a discipleship program, and that's our main focus is discipleship. He says, I'm there mentoring the students, and if I'm not available, I have other mentors working with the students. Even though nothing's guaranteed 100% in life, that is something that the Cross Shepherd School focuses a lot is on the discipleship. That's actually one of our themes is character. Discipleship usually falls in that theme. And we have another theme called context is king. And then the other one, and that's what we're hitting a little bit on today when there's possible sinful things or the people you counsel. The other big theme that we learn is ministry is messy. So that's where your discipleship with your mentors or just as your study gets you closer to the Lord hopefully helped you deal with the messy situations, whether that's in your own life or counseling others.
Yeah, I like that. Pastor Scott, is there has God provided protection for pastors through his word? Is there something different about the fellowship that a pastor has as opposed to just a basic congregant? And I just wonder who they speak with. When you're leading the congregation, fellowship is different, right, than just being part of the congregation.
It is different because many pastors and most pastors, I would say, are isolated. And that's not necessarily by design, right? It's because they've been hurt too. You know, people say we're church hurt, but pastors are probably the number one person that's being gossiped about, or they don't like this sermon or they don't like that. And so pastors tend to...
Yeah, I can only imagine what kind of feedback you get.
Well, it gets far worse than that, even death threats and other stuff like that, right? So, which I've received too, and I'm sure so has Skip and just about every pastor in town, right? And so they tend to pull back. But the thing is, if you are... This is why I love Shepherd School, is because if I'm that close to men and they see me weekly... And we're having these honest discussions, it is very hard for me to hide sin, right? And so it makes me accountable. When you get down in the muck and the mud, right, with people and you're discipling them and it's more of a friendship, that I believe keeps an accountability that goes beyond like a board membership. Mm-hmm. The board meets once a month or whatever. They need these things and it's church things. And boards can be great, but just about every pastor who follows has a board.
Yes.
Right? And so I think, but the main thing that stops men from falling is an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And do we need to go to break?
Well, yes.
This would be a great teaser for go to break.
Yeah, let's go to break.
Because I'll tell you, it's not what you think, but when we come back from break, I'll tell you what the number one thing that causes that will stop a person from falling.
I love it. We'll be back on ABQ Connect with Pastor Scott Tom and Charles Chavis, one of the students at the Shepherd School of Cross Christian Fellowship. We'll be back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Cross Christian Fellowship Pastor Scott Tom is in studio with us today, along with Charles Chavis. He's a student in the Fellowship Shepherd School. And Charles, when's the next Shepherd School starting?
This discussion that we're in right now, I know Scott was getting some good stuff, and we're talking about how the school actually prepares people to get closer to the Lord and disciple each other. So our next one, this class we're on now, is going to finish really soon. The next Shepherd School is going to kick off the first Thursday of January. And to get more information on that, we are having an open house August 31st. So the last Sunday of this month, we're having an open house at Cross Christian Church where you can come and ask any questions, hear from alumni, current students, and the professor. So don't forget, August 31st, an open house for the class that starts in January. Real quick application that we can get you there at the open house, or you can go to the online.
And you recommend it as a current student there.
As a current student, yes. Just as our discussion currently was going now, where I've talked about how leadership, character, ministry being messy and how to navigate through a messy ministry, and those are the tools that you'll learn if you look into Cross Christian Shepherd School.
It's not just ministry that's messy. It's human beings, right?
Life.
That's why, because we deal with humans in ministry.
Yeah. Pastor Scott, you teased us before the break.
I teased, right. But we don't want to tease you with not knowing where to go. So you can go to crossfellowship.org, crossfellowship.org for that information. But here's what we're talking about. Here's what partly what they learn in Shepherd School and what we apply and put into them is that accountability and accountability partners do not work without character. If you don't infuse character into your life, that temptation will always be there and eventually you'll fall because that accountability partner can't be there at all times. And so here's the idea. Somebody is, they're being tempted at work, right? And so whether male or female, somebody's flirting with them or whatever, what stops them? We say, well, you just have to say no. That's a rule. Peter says, add to your faith virtue or character, right? The thing that will change it and stop it in its tracks is that the person has faithfulness, or they have long suffering, or they have truthfulness, right? If I do something with this woman, there's no way I can face my wife because she'll know I'm lying because I'm a truth teller, right? Mm. So I won't get away with it because I'm a truthful person. And that may stop them, even though they're sexually attracted to the person. Do you understand? So the ability for a person to stave off temptation and to change their life is the infusion of character. Mm. And all character stems from love. That's why Jesus didn't use rules. He says, love one another, right? Mm. And love is basically the sacrificial offering for the benefit of another person. And so as you're learning to do that, you're doing it towards yourself, you're doing it towards Christ, and you're doing it towards the ministry or your partner. And so a person may not commit that sin for multiple reasons, but if you grow in strength, you grow in truthfulness, you grow in faithfulness, right? I would never do that to my wife, right? But that's why a guy may never do it to their wife and with another person, but they may be stuck in pornography. Because it's not quite the same in their mind, right? Because I'm not being unfaithful to her, but I'm still struggling with this sin. So you got to grow in other areas, in strength and long suffering and perseverance and that sort of thing, where you can persevere through temptation. So really, as a person, this is what we do in Shepherd School, and this is why it's so life changing. From the very first quarter, we spend the whole 9 weeks. What Bible college spends 9 weeks on character? Mm. We go 9 weeks on character to start off, and then it's hit every single module or quarter for 2 years. And it may not be the primary topic of an audio file that they're listening to, but it's buried in there.
Pastor Scott, when you teach from the pulpit, do you have people that come up to you after the service and they want you to clarify the rules that you just went over? And your whole point was not the rules, but it was a heart change. The reason I ask you that is because there was a time when there were a bunch of rules, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a pretense that they were following the rules. But the truth is that we can't follow the rules. Is that true?
Right. Scripture and right, in Galatians, Paul says, you guys, that was a taskmaster to bring you to a place where you fall on your knees and you go, change me inwardly, right?
Yes.
To give me your Holy Spirit to begin to disciple me inwardly. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit isn't just to go, no, don't do that, make us feel bad. It's to go yes, 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 and instill Christian character in you so that you're created into the image of Christ. That's what you're predestined for, is to make you again to that person. Because understand this, you can't love deeply without deep character, right? You can't have a deep, and we covered this before, right?
Yes.
You can't have a deep relationship with somebody who's a liar or somebody who's unfaithful, right? Somebody who is manipulative. And so the deeper you go in character and sanctification, that's the deeper relationship you'll have with Jesus Christ.
There might be some people listening right now that think, oh, I don't know if I can live up to that standard.
Yeah, it's not a standard.
But that's what I want you to,
right?
Yeah.
That's the,
so who do you want? Who do you want to go to crossfellowship.org, go to the Shepherd School, and who do you want to register? How do they know they're called?
Yeah, anybody can register online, male or female, at any time in the general ministry,
okay,
right? We have the general ministry. It's a two-year program on there. We have a two-year program, Shepherd School, for men only, because when we get together in men, they open up. If you got women in there, they're not going to open up the same way. You get a bunch of men in there after about a quarter or so, right? 6 weeks to 10 weeks, then you start seeing the walls come down, they open up. And this is also a primary function of adding character, because they hear this person's struggle and that person's story and this person's story of redemption. They begin to have compassion. They begin to self-examine. You have to examine your values and your value system. And I challenge them on this, right? I talk about not drinking at all, not doing anything, you know, and they're like, well, we have a freedom. I don't care. I don't care. Push yourself to a higher standard. We don't lower the standard for everybody. We don't lower standard there. If you want to come into a school and have low standards and get information, stay out of Shepherd School. I'm going to tell you right now. You want to come in and have your life changed and be a leader in your home and in ministry and maybe start a church or grow your church or whatever, because we have pastors even from other churches, then it's a school for you.
We should mention that we're on the campus. We're not a Calvary Chapel ministry, but we're on the campus of Calvary Church. We're open to all evangelical churches, and we want to get the message out about what everybody's doing, including Cross Christian Fellowship. And Scott's been contributing to our program for a really long time. I say that because if you're a pastor or you're a church leader and you want to be on the radio and talk about neat things you're doing, please call us. You can give us a call, 505-338-5790. And 8 to 5, and we'll answer that call and be glad to talk with you about what you're doing. This is all about, this is a tool for the church,
right?
Period. But on Calvary's campus, we have a number of people that have gone through the Shepherd School that have been on staff here in leadership. I did write down, someday we got to talk about women and their and how they serve in the church, because I know at least on this campus, probably over 70% of the stuff going on here is led by women.
Yeah, and we don't leave the women out, by the way. My wife mentors them, and so they go through it, and they can listen to the same audio files. They just can't be in the open discussion with the men, right?
Yeah, because you're trying to protect them.
Right, and so the women are trained up in our Shepherd School, and they can listen to the same audio files as their husband and stuff like that. So that's important.
What are the most common things that you either know or you hear is causing ministers to fall?
Yeah, the common thing is we want to say, okay, they're to a higher standard, and almost always they are when they start ministry, right? Sometimes somebody squeaks by and they've got a hidden sin or things like that, but most of the time they're pretty apt and they've walked a good walk. But what happens is over time, the enemy comes in, or they get hit with loneliness, or they feel underappreciated, or maybe they're not being paid, or other things are going on where they're like, well, what's the point, right? And so, and they're targeted by the enemy, right? We know that. The enemy comes in. If they can take out a leader, they damage a whole church. And so they can cause gossip. They can cause backbiting. They can cause divisions, right? Take out this one leader. And the flock scatters, right? Scripture talks about that. And so the problem is that issue not being grappled with and handled by the pastor or leaders, or knowing how to handle it, right? And how to take it to the Lord, or how to overcome these areas, how to infuse. A lot of times God uses this as a time of infusing character.
So have you seen substance abuse, sexual sin, those kind of things disqualifying people? Here's the main question I have about this. Have you seen people restored and God doing great things with them after they fall?
Yes, right? So can they be restored? That's a question. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, right? So the Bible doesn't give you a path or avenue for restoration, but there are principles you see there where God uses people who have fallen and he builds them back up, puts them in ministry. They've had doubts, they've had other things. But sometimes they can't be because the damage has been so critical to themselves, they can't lead anymore. Samson would be one, right? Fell to such extremes that he was controlled by sin, controlled by lust, making ungodly decisions, and lost his eyesight. Well, you can't be a judge and lead the children of Israel with no eyesight, right? So he had that last hurrah, that kind of suicide mission at the end, right? But you had David, also a prophet of God and a king, fall, right? Sexual sin and other things, but he could be restored. The problem was now his ministry is limited. David, you're a man of blood, not because of the wars, but because you committed murder.
Yes.
Brother, you're not going to build the temple. Your son will build the temple. But whatever.
So there's earthly consequences.
There's earthly consequences. And so many times that pastor will be restored, but it'll never be to the length or greatness that they could have had. I wish it could, but it rarely is.
Charles, you're a student at the Shepherd School. Do you feel pressure from all of the things we're talking about because you feel God leading you to be in a leadership position?
Yeah. Most of my life, I wasn't a leader. I was in positions where I was the follower, and nothing wrong with that. We're not always called in leadership. But after the almost 2-year period now in the training, I really have been given some tools in leadership and feel that I'm able to take that next step. I was never a manager at work, and I would never been, sometimes I don't want to say that I was a bad leader at home, but I feel I was a weaker one where I maybe let things go. I was the type of guy that just told your wife, whatever you want. And I didn't step up maybe as quick to make the decisions when I should have. And it's really showed me that the Lord has put me in a position. If he's going to have me lead in ministry, I need to lead everywhere. Show that example first in your family. Some people always use a line of your family as your first place in ministry. So showing that example at home is going to be the first place that I want to be. And that's where you're going to get comfortable. Like Scott was saying earlier, the two commandments, Jesus said to love thy Lord, your God, and love your neighbor. So those were the commands given rather than he didn't come to start listing a bunch of the rules and the law again. So if I can focus on that relationship with the Lord and loving God, hopefully then I'm going to have that example and then have the answers when I disciple others.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just want to input that I've seen those character qualities begin to emerge in him in a great way, watching his leadership style grow and his compassion and his love for people, and it's infectious. And so we're seeing things flourish with the ministries that Charles and his wife are involved in. And this is part of the thrill for me, is to see people being used by God and their gifts blossoming. He's doing a wonderful job.
I love it. Pastor Scott Thom, the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship, is in studio with us along with Charles Chavis. They were talking today about the Fellowship Shepherd School at Cross Christian, and it's an amazing ministry. Have a new session starting up in January. We'll give you that information right after the break and probably at least one more time during the broadcast. These two gentlemen will be with us till 2 o'clock, so stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm going to read Galatians 6:1 as we rejoin ABQ Connect. It says, brothers and sisters, if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not also tempted as well. I kind of feel, Pastor Scott, that that's the most important part of the verse is almost every time I see a Christian condemning another, almost always they're involved in something that they shouldn't be involved in.
Right. We forget mercy, right? We forget the grace. And so we say they're higher accountability, but showing them grace, we think that maybe we are not being righteous enough or, you know, we are compromised as a Christian. But you can still hold to the accountability part and still show mercy, though, right? And still show grace and be kind and that sort of thing. We want that extended to us. If I fall or something like that, I wish they'd give me a second chance, or wish they'd help me through this, or maybe understand my plight, or maybe somebody would go, you know, we kind of did that pastor wrong and giving him such a workload and all this stuff going on, and we never met with them. And when he was struggling at home or needed extra time off, you know, when are you coming back? You know, and we didn't, you know, and so it's not always a simple case, but the idea behind having compassion and having mercy, I think, is the very thing we were talking about at break, is that we have to have a deep self-examination, right? And that's why we restore in meekness, because, whew, boy, I've fallen, or I've done some things, or I said some things that, or if there's a billboard or electronic LED on my forehead of what I was thinking, I'd be disqualified too on these things. And we've got to be able to have that encouragement. And we want to be able to see people restored in their talents and gifts, used as much as possible, and not give the enemy victory.
So we're not just talking about restoring pastors and leaders. We're talking about general people. They fall. You want them restored. You want them in fellowship and trusting Jesus.
Right. And so that's one of the classes we teach, is church discipline. How do you discipline somebody in church, right? At what point do they get called out to the whole church? When do you expose it? And Paul went through various things in there, and you could see where Matthew 18, you can see 1 Corinthians 7, in Timothy. Where do you draw the line at this? And so, and why not expose it to everybody? Well, if a leader fell, the church is covering stuff up. Well, it depends, right? So if you can restore them and make things right without destroying them or their family, then that's what you want to try to do. And even the guy who is in sexual immorality with his stepmom in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul didn't name him. Called him a brother in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. This shouldn't even be named as a brother in Christ, but why? So he could be restored. But people who had a public sin, like Hymenaeus, right, in teaching false doctrines that Paul calls out and says, they've stumbled the faith of some and shipwrecked them because they taught that the resurrection has already passed. And so that he marked them. They were to be marked. Everybody needs to know about this person. But on other things, not everybody needs to know.
Maybe I can mention that. We were mentioning a little bit about break, I think it's Matthew 7, about the judge not lest ye be judged. Would you say, Scott, would that be being careful with gossip? Because so many of us want to judge, and I think our flesh wants to gossip because it almost feels good to our flesh. Sometimes when I've seen people do things, it makes me want to, I think my flesh, feel better about myself. Like, oh, did you hear what he did? And then I'm feeling, oh, that's because I'm better. And might remind me of the Matthew 7 a little bit about the judge not, because maybe I was doing something similar. Maybe I had thoughts in my mind that were wrong, and I'm starting to feel better because I could point something out somebody else did. And I think when any Christian falls, it starts with thoughts. But then our flesh wants to gossip and comfort ourselves.
Yeah, and it, not only does it make us, in some case, make us feel better about ourselves, which is not only hypocrisy, it's pride, right? Spiritual pride. But oftentimes it justifies us being angry or mad at God or mad at a church. See that church, all that church, all that people, all these people, all that teaching, because they disagreed about something, or their church heard about something. So they're going to slam, see, I told you about this church. They're just terrible people there or whatever, and pastoral staff, and oh, they're authoritative, or oh, they don't have accountability. And so we got to be careful with that. And here's why, and I said there's something, you know, when we come back, Jesus is still the head of the church. And to slam his church and all churches, you're slamming Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yes. Is he still omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful? Is he still the leader of the church? See, he oftentimes is so much slower to discipline and take down a pastor because he gives people multiple times, multiple escape avenues, multiple warnings, multiple helps, so that they might be able to stay and continue the work, right? He's always pulling the weeds, but sometimes then the garden's dead, and he will step in. I guarantee you, God will remove any pastor he wants to. I've seen it where in a blink of an eye, you know, we've known, and I was with Raul Reese back in California, and we oversaw, you know, quite a few churches domestically and internationally, right? Especially in South America. And we knew something about a guy, and we would discipline him, and it was all worked out. And boy, I tell you what, man, God will open the doors, and he will show that head or that pastor, and he'll remove that person yes. when it's time. And so Jesus is still the authority in the church. So be careful about slamming the church, right? That's, I see that all the time on social media. But Jesus is still active. He's alive. He loves his people. He loves his pastors, and allow him to do his work. And, you know, he's got the authority to, and he will step in. It's his church.
Pastor Scott Thom, this is the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque, and Charles Chavis is a student at the Shepherd School at Cross Christian. He's been there now almost 2 years.
Yeah, we're almost at our two-year completion. So a two-year program, we're class number 7, as you were asking Scott earlier. They go about 2 years. So that means he's been doing this school for about 14 years, the in-person Shepherd School. So reminding people again, when our two-year program ends this December, January, first Thursday of January, a new school will start out. Pastor Scott did say, you go to crossfellowship.org, and we can get you in touch with how to get an application. Also, August 31st, that's coming up in just about 2-3 weeks from now, there will be an open house to answer any questions. That will be at the Cross Christian location on Edith. And there are any questions from alumni. We also want to remind, there is, to anybody out there, how do we say it here, Jim, in Radioland listening, there is a Cross Christian Shepherd School alumni getting together, kind of a alumni reunion or party, November 1st. So anybody in Radio Land that has attended Cross Christian Shepherd School that has not been in touch recently, that's all you have had to have done was attend it, not necessarily even graduate it, an alumni reunion November 1st.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad that you could both be here because I think people want to know. I mean, Charles, we already said you're a former Albuquerque police officer. And you've gone through a process where God is speaking to you and leading you, and then you find out about the Shepherd School, and you've participated and had a high degree of success. We've got one more segment with these two gentlemen. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Pastor Scott Thom, senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque, is with us, along with Charles Chavis. I kind of wanted to invite Pastor Scott because he's led a church. He has a discipleship program that he calls the Shepherd School. Charles has been part of the staff at Calvary Church for a few years now.
Correct. Yeah, about 3 years, yeah.
Retired in law enforcement and still working to protect people. But you felt a calling on your heart, and you wanted to see, you know, kind of find out what it was all about. And you've done that now for almost 2 years. The new school is going to start up in January. You complete your studies when?
We'll be done by the end of the year, early December, and then there's just a short break for the school to get things in order to start the new January class, first Thursday of January. If you get your applications in, you can make that first Thursday in January.
And you can get more information at crossfellowship.org, crossfellowship.org. Yeah. So, Pastor Scott, let's talk about a hard example. We've been talking about restoration. We've been talking about character. This is a big emphasis in the Shepherd School. You've seen pastors on television, for example, very well-known people fall. I've seen pastors that seem to be following a path of restoration. They're very contrite, but I've also seen where a guy wants to take 3 days off and be back in the pulpit. Mm. Seems a little bit out of balance.
Yeah, the restoration process should be contingent. It's not going to be the same for everybody, but it should be contingent on the risk factor that person has in going back into the pulpit, the damage assessment to himself, his family, maybe the church, right? And then the actual contrition and growth of that pastor. So he has to have that sort of thing. So it might be different. So say guy's helping with the offering, he takes $20 out and he goes buys lunch, compared to somebody who's a CFO in a church and embezzles two grand, right? The restoration process is going to be different from those people. And it may involve like, okay, you're back on staff doing this, but you're never involved with accounting now, right? You're never around the money.
Because that's a weak point.
That's a weak point. And so even if you grow, you're never allowed back in that place. There may be something where a person, maybe they abused a child. For me, you're never back on staff in any capacity, period, because you can't keep them.
Well, probably your insurance isn't going to let you hire somebody.
Insurance or not, yeah. But it's true, right?
I know there's...
People don't understand that there's insurance and other stuff in the church, and you have to make decisions on it. So
it's not all spiritual.
It's not all spiritual. Practical. There's other things. You're not insurable anymore. But there's certain lines that you cross, there's certain things, and... So it depends on that. So if the damage is smaller at home personally, if they show great contrition and they're growing in that, and growing in that means that they're growing in that character, not just I'm sorry, right? They got to be growing in the character is the why. Why are you not going to do that again, right? There has to be a why. Well, it's because I've now come to the place of I cannot ever do this again to Christ. This is Peter who denied Christ, right? Mm-hmm. He denied him. Yes. And he's like, Right after he said he wouldn't. Then Christ confronts him and he goes, you know, hey, are you going to do that again? Do you love me? And he's like, oh gosh, I don't know, right? You know all things, Lord. That's the humbleness that began to come out, right? And then he's saying, okay, just focus on this. Go feed my lambs. Go teach them. And then he told him at the end, look, they're going to take you where you don't want to go, and you're going to go with them. Talking about how he's going to be put to death.
Yes.
And people might think, I don't want to know that. I think Peter wanted to know that. Because what Jesus said is, Peter, I know you're never going to deny me again, right? Mm. You're going to go and be crucified. You denied me because you feared crucifixion. In your old age, you'll be crucified for me, and I know you're never going to fail.
So in one way... the failure, his failing became a strength.
It is, and that's part of the growth of character, is you're never going to have perfect character, but character is formed in testing and in challenges. If you don't have a world of sin, you never get challenged in these areas and you never have growth. That's why we will judge angels, it says in 1 Corinthians. Why would we judge angels? Because angels don't have a physical body. They're only dealing with Satan, right? They're not dealing with the world or physical body. And so we will be developed into higher moral characters, higher moral beings, and then have a sufficiency to judge angels that they couldn't have. And so that's part of the process. But that's why you learn it as a kid. That's why things like the Andy Griffith Show, and you're watching that, and it always taught a moral lesson, and people learned something, right? And you saw Opie fail at something. Now I'm really challenging the younger crowd here, right? But Opie failed at something, or Barney failed at something, or even Andy failed at something, and they grew in that. And that was a life lesson that you're taught, and it infused this character. We don't have that anymore. We don't see that. But if it's taught and you know how to identify it and how to grow in it, you become stronger and better, and God begins to, then he can extend greater ministry and greater blessings. Just like Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth at the time, that's the reason that God could exercise such great power through Moses in the plagues.
Yes. Charles, I've only given you about a minute, maybe a minute and a half. Why should people sign up for the Shepherd School? How has it helped you, and why would you recommend it?
Well, just as Scott had been saying earlier, like we said, I can give a quick, in that minute, a brief overview. That first 9 weeks, you got 9 weeks of nothing but character and leadership. I don't know of any other schools that are going to go that far in depth. There's another one that's 9 weeks of nothing but ethics. Hmm. Yeah, that's in the starts at year number two, nothing but ethics. But all together with the theology we get, all the apologetics, really helps you explore yourself. It helps you look at yourself. And so many of those speakers that we listen to in class in the lectures are about how to finish the race. That's a theme. I've lost count how many times the speakers that we hear in our lectures about finishing strong. So remember, that's first Thursday of January. Get your applications in.
Love it. Cross Christian or Cross Fellowship. CrossFellowship.org is the website. Phone number to the church is 505-990-7588. Pastor Tom, Scott Tom, thank you very much. We appreciate you, Charles Chavis. Appreciate you being here.